Good morning. Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all as we gather together. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before our God. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks that you've brought us together here this morning. Not just that we can meet with one another, as pleasant as that is, as beneficial as that is, but that we together meet with you. For we have assembled in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and assembling in his name for the purpose of meeting with our triune covenant God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we ask of you to fill us with your Spirit, that your Son may be glorified, that we may walk with you. Bring us into closer conformity to the image of Jesus Christ, we pray, and glorify him. We ask this of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts 2, 14 through 21. Let's hear God's inerrant word. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, smoke, blood, and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Westminster Confession of Faith, page 854 in your hymnals. We'll read just the first two paragraphs of chapter 10. Just the first two paragraphs of effectual calling. Let's read these together as we confess our faith to our God and Father. All those whom God hath predestinated unto life, and those only, he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call by his word and spirit out of that state of sin and death in which they are by nature to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone and giving unto them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills and, by his almighty power, determining them to that which is good and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ. Yet so as they come most freely, being made willing by his grace. This effectual call of God's free and special grace alone, not from anything at all foreseen in man, who is altogether passive therein, until being quickened and renewed by the Holy Spirit, he is thereby enabled to answer this call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it. If you'll open your Bibles to our scripture text, Isaiah chapter 44, the first five verses. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 44, verses 1 through 5. Let's hear God's inerrant word. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Yahweh, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am Yahweh's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand Yahweh's and name himself by the name of Israel. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together before him in prayer at this time. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together, to meet with one another, to hear you speak to us. As we consider these words that we have read, as we look at them together, God, let us hear your voice if we have not heard it already. You have spoken, but we might not have listened. Speak more and grant that we would hear. Grant that we would understand. Give to us hearts willing to obey. May the glorious news that we are studying together this morning allow us to leave here more like Christ than we were when we entered. Be with our brothers and sisters who are worshiping this morning in churches of like precious faith and practice, St. John's, Zion, Redeemer, Grace. God, we pray your blessings, that you would strengthen them and encourage them. Help them to become ever more faithful to the Word of God than they've ever been before. Help us to do the same. And for those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in churches with whom we have more or greater degrees of differences, more than we would with those that we've mentioned, and yet, Lord, who are Christians and are attending churches where the Bible is believed and proclaimed, we pray for them the same. May they grow in grace. May they come to understand you and your word. May they come to love you better than they've ever loved you before. May they understand how to walk with you more closely than they've ever done before. Be with those, Father, who protect us. Whatever uniform they might be wearing, who keep us safe here in this city and in our land. Be with those who rule over us and restrict evil in their hearts and minds. Thwart it, we pray, Father, for you are sovereign. Do not allow our rulers to give us the kind of rule that we deserve, but the kind of rule that we so desperately need. Now, Father, as we come to your word, speak to us and allow us to hear you. We ask this of you in Christ's precious name. Amen. This middle verse, verse 3 in Isaiah 44, I'm sorry, verse 4 rather, is one that really stands out for me. Some of you have seen what do they call those, that picture on your computer, wallpaper, of the Delaware Canal, which is right behind my parents' home. And you've seen the lush foliage along the river, along the canal. There's also, some of you have seen where there's a little waterfalls where they let water out of the canal. It runs down to the Delaware, which is about 150 yards away or so. Actually, less than that, probably. My grandfather's house, you could spit into the pond that from where the water comes out of the canal. And it was, the back door is right at the hill of the towpath. And he had planted, before I was born, just a tiny little twig of a willow tree. And by the time I have memories, that willow tree was huge. And it died, I was in college, or maybe after we got married and went away. And it was cut down, but one man, even a miller with our gorilla arms, could not put your arms around the trunk of that willow tree. And one of the really neat things about it is my grandfather never trimmed the branches. So those willow branches came down and hit the ground. But underneath, it was almost like a tent underneath, where Grandpa always had his Adirondack chair along with other nasty things. It was beautiful. Great shade. It didn't stop the wind from coming through and keeping you cool. Beautiful willow tree. And when I read this verse, like willows by the watercourses, I think of that tree. It was so close to the water of the canal and of the pond that it just sucked up all the moisture that you could imagine. In fact, right under the tree, there was no grass. In the summer, the dirt would be a powder, like talcum powder. I love playing with it with my bare feet. And this verse, I read that, and I think of that massive willow tree and how green it was and how huge it was. And there's a point there that this verse is trying to make, but we'll get to that in a few moments. Notice it has almost a call to worship. Hear now. It's a call to hush up and listen for once. Pay attention to what God is saying. And the call is to Jacob, his servant, and Israel, whom he has chosen. This is not merely a national group. This is not merely an ethnic group. But those who are true Israel and true Jacob. Jacob, my servant, not Jacob, the rebel against me. Israel, whom I've chosen, not Israel, who has rejected me. Listen up as God calls to them and through the dispensational change calls to us as well. And thus says Yahweh, who made you? Your Creator speaks, not the Creator in the sense that He has made the heavens and the earth and all they contain. That's true, but that's not the sense here. Not the sense that He made Adam and Eve and therefore He created our race. That also is true, but that's not the sense meant here. But rather the sense that He has created His church. In this case, the church of the Old Covenant. The church, it's a call to them who were not Jews. Those who were not Israel, the mass of slaves that He had assembled and turned into a nation and turned into a church. What was once a man that became a family and then a clan and then a mass of people, but was not a nation and was not a church until He called them together, entered into covenant with them, and organized them and made them a church. And so He's the one who made you, who formed you from the womb. E.J. Young suggests that Jeremiah may have been meditating upon this passage as he hears God's call of having called Jeremiah from the womb. O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun. That's a word that's only found here and in Deuteronomy. I can't remember the references at the top of my head. But the word suggests being straight, being honest. Which is interesting because, of course, Jacob was the supplanter. Jacob was the crook. Jacob was the devious one who is now straight, now honest. This is what we were. And He calls us because of what we are, His servant, His chosen. And then we have perhaps the most important verse in this section. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. The word thirsty is masculine. Not that you are likely to look that up in your Hebrew Bibles. Not that you're likely to have one. And so E.J. Young suggests that that means an individual. Not a dry and thirsty land, but a thirsty individual. But then also floods on the dry ground. This is the metaphorical part. This is the descriptive part. The consequence of those statements in verse 3 are found in verse 4. They spring up among the grass. And there's some suggestion, it could be a reference maybe to a tree that is green like grass, which would go along with the willow by the watercourses. But there's this suggestion here of a radical change. In fact, turn with me to the book of Psalms and the first psalm. I don't trust my memory, so I'm going to read it. Verse 3, he shall be planted like a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. It's that kind of imagery that we have here. The pouring out of water on the dry ground so that trees spring up and grow and they're lush and they're green. And to echo the psalm, they keep their leaves year-round, or at least they keep their leaves through the growing season, and they have their fruit whenever that is, and it's a prosperous fruit. But you'll notice that last line in verse 3 of Psalm 1, and whatever he does, he prospers. And that makes it clear that the metaphor, he shall be like a tree, he's not concerned about trees. He's concerned about individuals. And here in verse 4, it's the same thing. God is not concerned about grass or willow trees, but rather that's an image to describe his people. And so we go back to verse 3 for a moment. I pour water on him who is thirsty. Pardon me. And he satisfies the thirst, the need. My voice is not quite so rough now, is it? And I don't feel my lips trying to stick to my teeth as much as they were because I've had the water. You know the experience. You need it. You crave it. But it's not water that God is concerned with. It's not water that the thirst is for. Because you see, the water, Dene, is a symbol. And he moves from the symbol to the reality. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, on your seed, on your offspring, and my blessing on your offspring. There are quotes from Joel chapter 2, Joel 2, 28 and following. Because Joel says pretty much the same thing that Isaiah says here. And Peter, standing there in front of the city of Jerusalem, as those people are, some of them laughing at these nutty people who are speaking in foreign languages that they've never heard before, and figuring, boy, they've had a few too many already. Hair of the dog that bit them, perhaps. At any rate, oh, they're not drunk. This is what the prophet spoke of. Let's hear those words again in Acts chapter 2. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Verse 18, I will pour out my spirit in those days. The pouring out of the Spirit of God and the speaking in prophecies, the dreaming of dreams and seeing of visions. And here, what Isaiah is saying is that it's the same thing. He's going to pour out his spirit on their offspring, on their descendants. And this is his blessing. And the consequence of not the water that produces green grass and green trees, but the spirit on people that produces a similar kind of bearing of fruit. Similar kind of change. Is that true of you? Is it true of me? If we're believers, it is true of us at least occasionally. And if it's not true of us all the time, something's wrong. It's called sin. I doubt that it's true of any of us all the time. It's not true of me all the time, that's for sure and for certain. But it does happen at least occasionally. More frequently than it used to, but not as frequently as it should. question is, are we taking advantage of what we have? And look at the consequence. This pouring out of the Spirit of God on the church of that dispensation has the consequence of them being different, being fruitful, being alive, really living, comes from the Spirit of God being poured out upon them. That's why there's the image of water on the dry land. That's why there's the image of the greenness of the grass and of the willow trees by the watercourses. All that water and the you know, things don't turn brown unless you pour the Roundup on them. So they get green. What happens to our lawns in July and August if you don't put out your sprinklers? Yeah, you have this nice brown, crunchy grass. When we lived in Kansas, 4th of July every year, the winds came from the southwest, and within a week, you could walk across the grass and hear it crunch beneath your feet like it was ramen noodles or something. Just made this Eastern boy so happy. The pouring out of the Spirit has that kind of bearing of fruit, that kind of life. And that has a consequence. And that's what verse 5 is all about. But before we get there, I want us to turn to John's Gospel, because you see, John uses this image as well, or maybe more accurately, Jesus does. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, and was that verse 14? Speaking to the woman at the well, Jesus says in verse 13, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." He's speaking of the Spirit of God. The new life that he gives us is the product of the Spirit of God who makes his home within us. That's why the description that Jesus has is of a fountain, a spring, constantly bubbling up. Because the Spirit of God is the one who gave us the life, and he's made his home there, and he's constantly doing this for us. A little later on, chapter 7, let's see, verse 37 and 39 in the same gospel. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" But do you notice what he says next? What John says next? "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit." So the question, brothers and sisters, is, are we dried up? Are we crunchy like the grass of Kansas in late July? Do we start seeing our leaves turn yellow and fall off like I would see in July and August, especially late August in Kansas, except for trees next to the river's edge, where the fruit falls off early because the tree has to preserve its life. It has to pull all the nutrients in to save the core. Do we get like that? If we get like that, it's not because the Spirit of God has failed. We've failed. We have failed to use the means that he gives us. There's something so wrong about us that we really need to examine ourselves again. You see, the norm is that we would be rivers of living water flowing out of the depths of our being, because that's where the Spirit of God dwells. That the Spirit has been given to us, and he is the river of life. He's the river of water that gives us life. But have we bottled him up? Have we stomped him down? Have we not drinking, imbibed from the water? Have we not taken it in? If we have, Isaiah tells us, back to chapter 44, that there's a consequence. Now, what's really cool about this is E.J. Young, and he persuaded me, that the people who are described here in verse 5 are not Jews. They're foreigners. They're strangers and aliens to the covenant and promises. They're barbarians and pagans. They're probably Irish, like my ancestors, or Scotch-Irish, like my ancestors, or Germans, like some of my other ancestors, or Norwegians, some of my other ancestors. There are dark rumors of English, but I hope not. No Bohemians, so I guess I've lucked out on that, maybe. Not right, not Nancy? And those who are outside the covenants and the promises, outside the church, who see what happens when the Spirit of God is poured out and how it changes people, then one of them says, I am Yahweh's. He takes his name. You understand, that's what the commandment about don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What it means is to say, I'm Yahweh's and you're not. To say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and you haven't. That's a violation of that commandment. What's here is a pagan actually says, yeah, I want to believe in Yahweh. I do believe in Yahweh, and I give myself to Him because of what they see happening with the people of God. Another calls himself by the name of Jacob. Now, this is Old Covenant language. You want to put it in New Covenant, New Testament era? He calls himself a Christian. Another will write with his name, with his hand, Yahweh's. Not that he gets tattooed on his chest or something that he belongs to God. The Old Testament tells us that tattoos are wrong. But he signs in. The people in Omaha will have to do what Faith Orthodox Presbyterian members did in 1938. Sign a petition to become a mission work. Somewhere we have that scrap of paper with all the people who signed that petition for Faith OPC to come in existence way back in 1938. That signing is the statement that I belong to Yahweh. I'm His. And another will name himself by the name of Israel. You see, the work of the Spirit of God in us should change us, should make us attractive to others, should make people say, I wish I had what you have. Because we're alive. We have real life. Jesus told us this. I came to give life and life abundantly. And the question, brothers and sisters, is, well, I don't have that. And there are plenty of times I don't. Not because I've corked up the spring. I've not imbibed. I've not used the means of grace. The word, prayer, sacraments, assembling the saints. I've ignored them. And as a consequence, my leaves wither and my fruit falls off. And my grass is crunchy, and I'm not very attractive. That grass that turns so crisp and crunchy is not something you want it to lay in. Sometimes my lawn, especially in the spring, is so soft. If it weren't for the fact that I'm afraid somebody would think there's a corpse in the yard, I'd be tempted to lay there and just enjoy the soft green grass. At least there are no chiggers here, like there are in Kansas. But you know that when that's crunchy kind of grass, who wants to lay on a bunch of ramen noodles? You know, that just sounds. Does anybody like crumbs in their bed? It's not attractive. It's not comfortable. And you and I aren't either. When we're not allowing the Spirit of God to be a river of living water within us, He's made His home in us. We imbibe. Are we indulging in what He has given to us? If we're not, we're going to be prickly and unattractive. And if we are, it won't be quite so prickly. It might be a little more attractive. It has nothing to do with how photogenic we are or are not. It has to do with, are we being like Jesus? Do people, as a consequence of being around us, want to say, I belong to Yahweh? I want to give my life to Jesus Christ like you have. May God grant that that's so. May He pour out His water upon us, as He already has if we're His. May the Spirit of God water us and make us like Christ Himself, so that we really are His servant and His chosen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before Him. Our Father and our God, there is not one believer I've ever met who always was what they were supposed to be, and some were only occasionally what they were supposed to be. I know my sins better than anyone other than You. And You know the sins of my brothers and sisters far better than I, and far better even than they. God, we beg of You. You who have called us into Your kingdom and have given us the new birth, who have taken up Your home with us, Father and Son, through the Spirit who makes His home within us. Let us drink deeply from the water of life. Let us hunger and thirst for the things of God, that we might be what we can be and should be and must be in Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.